for his church, that the gospel will be proclaimed in all nations. That's Christ's vision for his church. See, I've got this little title tied to my name, Pastor of Vision and Mobilization. Some of you may not have known that, but it's there, okay? Pastor of Vision and Mobilization. You need to hear me say that it is possible for me to have direction or vision for the church. It's possible for me to give you that and it fail. Do you understand? I could have methods, I could have plans, I could have thoughts that we should do, what we should be, and it fail. But Jesus, his vision and his plans, it is impossible for them to fail. So what you need are pastors who will look for and find the vision of God for his church. Then seek to take that vision and to take the people and help us to follow it and be obedient to what he's called us to do in the context that we're in. And so today we're going to do that very thing. And there was several areas where we could go. I chose this morning, was led to this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here in the context of this passage, we've got 120 people or so that are going to end up really gathering together after this call. But we've probably got some 500 or so that hear Christ proclaim what he's going to proclaim here. This is the same context as Matthew 28. Jesus is ascending into heaven. He's going to call the church. He's going to say, hey, go and make disciples of all nations. He's going to call the church there. From that same place, the same setting, the same time, he's going to say these words here that we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They're very effective words because they're the plan of Christ. See, what his plan was to take people, sinful people, flawed people like us, take people and place us as the primary instruments, the primary mouthpiece of the ones that would proclaim his good news, his gospel to the world. Now, we don't do that outside of God's word. We proclaim God's word. That's the only way that we can proclaim that will bring fruit. But we take God's word and we proclaim it. We speak it. God's plan was that we, his people, would take his message to the world. I'm going to read for you Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And as I'm reading, I want you to remember 120 people in just a couple lines here in the book of Acts are going to be gathered together. Those people, that's a good bit smaller than what we have here this morning. We're around 400 here this morning. Around 120. We'd have the temptation to say that was a dying group. That's not enough. 120 is not enough. 120 people who believed God's promise. They took the message of the gospel from here in Jerusalem all the way to Rome in 30 years. Today we sit in this room, I stand in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, believing the gospel that began here in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Let's pray together. Father, I ask that you, because you're gracious and merciful, because you're kind and you're patient, because you're powerful, I ask that you, Lord, in all that you are, that you would invest deeply in us, in the individuals in this room today, that you would open up our eyes so that we might see, that you would open up our ears, that we might hear, that you would mobilize us, that we would move to your word today, and we would be a part of you accomplishing your mission around all of the world, that you would bring people to yourself here in Alberta City, on this campus, and all of the world. God, may you use us today as your instruments. It's your plan. Or maybe we'll be reminded today. Lord, we love you. We ask for you to work. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Three simple truths today from Acts 1:8. You've got them inside your worship guide there. Look with me. The first thing that we need to see this morning is this, is that we are his witnesses. We are Christ's witnesses. What does that mean? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, thoughts on that. We've got the, I know, kind of growing up, I wasn't really connected to a church, but I was around church enough to hear people say, hey, you need to have ready your testimony. You need to have written out your testimony. I didn't have a testimony at the time as far as faith because I hadn't believed yet, but I remember growing up hearing that a lot. You're very familiar with the word testimony. Have a testimony to share. Testimony is being a witness. Okay, and there's a lot of ways to be a witness. It wouldn't just be me saying, hey, this is where I was and this is where I am now. A witness, and probably the more important witness that we can have, is this is who Christ is, this is what Christ has done, and this is why Christ is relevant to your life and to this world, to this community. This is why he matters so much. A witness. A witness is someone who testifies to another something they've seen, heard, experienced. We're called to be Christ witnesses in this world. We're going to see here in a few weeks a passage from 2 Corinthians 5. We are Christ ambassadors. We're his representatives. Like, we're called to represent him, to be a witness for him, to be a mouthpiece for him, to point to him, to direct people to him because he's worthy. We are his witnesses. I could ask you some simple questions, and it would help you determine, you know, what you would say to be his witness. I would encourage you, before I really say anything, just understand God's word. Like, you can just pick up his word and read it, and that's sufficient enough to be a witness. Just read about who he is to someone. That's a witness. But the way that you can begin to think of how to just naturally speak truth to be a witness of Christ in this world, we want to begin to think about the people that exist around us. So let's think about in our families. Let's think about in our jobs. Let's think about at school. Let's think about those who are at the gym that we go to, those who are around us, wherever we are, as we're going, you know, whatever we're doing, that kind of thing. The people that are around us. And let's think about what they're doing. They're doing like you, and if not for God's grace, they're doing what you used to do, you know, where it was you're looking for purpose and meaning, you're looking for life, and we need to be able to point people to see that life and purpose and meaning are found in no other but Christ. We are called to be witnesses to the world of Christ's glory, His grace, his love, his patience, his kindness, his mercy to his creation. Like there's really nowhere you could go, there's nothing you could do that there wouldn't be a reason or a relevant time to, there's always going to be relevancy there to proclaim the good news of Jesus. It's not something that you should feel, you know, like is, like most people when they start sharing the gospel, they get this weird deep voice. I don't know what happens. Like, you're all cool and stuff, and then you start talking to somebody about the Lord, and it's like you completely freeze. And I get it. It's because it's an ultimate situation that we're talking about. It's an eternal dilemma that we're discussing. So it's easier to talk about football than it is to talk about eternal destinies. I understand. But when we really get it, when we really see who he is and what he's done, when we really, really see what he's doing currently, then we begin to get where we can naturally, in day-to-day life, talk about him, point him out. I'm looking at Dan Turner over here. Dan Turner is one of the best I've ever seen at just naturally talking about Jesus. He just talks about Christ all the time. Every time I see him, he points to something. Oh, it's a beautiful day that Christ made. Christ is here. Christ is doing this. Christ did that. He's always talking about Christ. He's a witness. I saw him in creation today. We were in Haiti. Dan Turner looked at the clouds all day. He would just look at the clouds. He would pour into people, but then he'd go right back to the clouds. And he would always tell us, didn't Christ make that? He made that beautiful. God's beauty. Look at God's creation. He was always a witness to. It's not just something that's happening around us. He was giving the glory to Christ. That's Christ. Christ did that. When we see mercy and grace and justice at work, it's Christ that gets the honor and the glory. We're a witness of Christ in day-to-day life. See, what people are doing, and we did the same thing, or we're still doing the same thing, is that we are always looking for life purpose and meaning. And where we start, we will not end. Okay, we start usually looking in the mirror. And you just can't sit behind the mirror very long. You can't sit in front of it looking at it going, please make me matter. Make me have purpose. Make me have meaning. It just doesn't work very long. And so we go from the mirror to someone or something else, whether it's money, job, you know, a wife, friends, whatever it might be, religion, is possible to do that. We go to something else, desiring to get life and purpose and meaning, and it's just not going to be found in those things. That's futile. We must be Christ's witnesses. Point people to him, but it's Christ that our satisfaction is found. It's Christ where purpose is found. It's Christ where life and light is found. We must be Christ's witness to the world. We must take people that we love, people that we're just meeting. We must take people wherever they are, whatever relationship we have. We must pour into them, invest in them, make disciples, teach them. This is who Christ is. This is what he's done. This is how you personally follow him. You can follow him. You can have life. You don't have to have guilt anymore. You don't have to have, whatever it is that you're wrestling with, shame. You don't have to sit in it. You can have freedom in Christ. This is how. This is what we do. This is how we walk faithfully with him. This is how we follow him. This is how we honor him. This is how we submit our life and become obedient to him. This is how we find joy in him. This is how we love him. Like, we get to do that. Like, he calls us to do that. We're his mouthpiece. We're his witness. We want to embrace this calling as a church. And I'm just going to be honest. I don't know all of the ways that it's possible that we could embrace it. Or there's so many different things we could do. But we want to, in the best of our abilities, in the power of God, we want to lead you to embrace this calling. I want to tell you about a few things that we're doing and that we're going to do as a church. Next week, we're beginning a series in 2 Corinthians. It's going to start next week. Pastor Keith's going to preach the first couple weeks. We're going to kind of do a two-and-two deal, both preach a couple messages in a row. And we're going to take the book of 2 Corinthians, not break down every verse. We're not going to do that in this series. We're going to take what I would call commission statements, or statements of who we are as his church. We're going to take those statements and we're going to do them. We're going to ask the Lord by his grace and his power to make us those things. I'll give you an example, and this is where you can begin to really be thinking about next week, because you need to, because I need your help. You got a responsibility here. Next week's going to be, we are God's comforters. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, that we might comfort those who are being afflicted. We're called to be God's comforters. I'm going to call you as the church. You're already a response that you're being called to here. A response, one is this. As for you to be in prayer from now until next Sunday, how can we, by the power of God, come into a situation where we comfort those who are around us? Another thing we're going to do is ask you to bring, you got to go to the grocery store for this or raid, you know, somebody's pantry, but we need you to bring chicken noodle soup in a can. Because let's ask the question, what's more comforting than chicken noodle soup? You know what I mean? Like it's comfort food. There's other things I could probably think of, but this is in a can and it works. Okay, so chicken noodle soup. You're going to bring chicken noodle soup here. You can bring it to the office and Marlinda's going to figure out where to put it. You know, I'm just kidding. We're going to bring chicken noodle soup to the office this week or bring it on Sunday, and we are going to take cans of chicken noodle soup and we're going to take a little outline that we're going to have. More importantly, we're going to take the Spirit of God with us. He's going to move us into the neighborhood. We're going to go door to door and we're going to pray for people. We're going to ask them, how can we pray for you? And we're going to give them a can of soup. It's just a little symbol. It's a little something that says and backs up what it is that we're doing that day. We want people to know that we love them. We want people to know that we care. We don't love them like God loves them. Do you understand? Like this is where we have to be honest as a church. We don't love the community like God loves the community. If we did, we would be in the community. Okay, you understand? So this is just an effort. This is us saying we're going to be obedient in a simple way. We're going to go out and we're going to ask people to pray. When you go, you're going to be looking, you're going to be intentional about listening for the conversation that you're having, noticing the person's interest in prayer, their desire for, you know, the Lord's help in their life. You're going to notice what they're doing and what they're thinking. And when you see a situation that you believe this could be there could be a follow-up to this conversation, it seems like I need to follow up, you're going to write down that address and you're going to bring it back to us. And here's what we're going to do. The next week or the next sermon is on that we are the fragrance of Christ. Okay? The Bible says that when we go somewhere, we either leave a fragrance of life or we leave a fragrance of death. We want Alberta Baptist Church, when we go somewhere as God's people, we want to leave and they go, Christ has been here. This is the work of Christ. This is life. Okay? The third week, we are Christ's letter. We are a message sent. Now, in the passage, and we'll break it down when we get there, but there's a lot of things that it means, a lot of things we're talking about. But we're going to take at least a portion of what that means, a tiny bit of what it means, and we're going to take that address, those people that we prayed over, and we're going to write them a letter of encouragement, of gospel. We're going to write them, and we're going to send it to their house. Once again, it's simple, but it is us taking at least something from God's word. When God calls us, and we're going to go, Lord, this is us as a church wanting to be obedient. Now teach us to grow that desire. Teach us to dream it bigger. When you go on the mission field a lot of times, people, while they're there, they'll say, man, I can do this at home. You know, man, when I get back home, I can go and share the gospel like I've been doing here. And we're always like, yeah, you can. You know, like, of course you can. But that's what happens when you start doing something. When you become obedient in little things, a lot of times God will give you dreams for bigger. Does that make sense? And so we want to ask him to do this. We want to be his witnesses. So one, we got this series in 2 Corinthians. We're going to be sending the church out on mission. The second thing is this, and life group leaders, you don't know this, okay? So this is a shocker for you, but we are going to, during this semester, all of our life groups are going to go through this study. It's just a 5-week study. This is called Life on Mission, A Simple Way to Share the Gospel. It's a couple of guys from the North American Mission Board, Dustin Willis and Aaron Coe, and forward by David Platt. And it's just a simple way to learn and kind of have wording and phrasing to share the gospel in normal life, in everyday life. The phrases that they use is three things. God's design. This is what God originally designed the world to be. This is what he did. He made it good. Sin came in and everything broke. And so we talk about the brokenness. Brokenness is not hard to point out. You just open your eyes and point. Okay, that's what happens. Or you just point to yourself. Brokenness is easy to see. But then repent and believe. The third thing, the gospel. You turn from your sin to the gospel and you believe it. And then there's something new that happens. And some people stop there, but you can't stop there because the Bible doesn't stop there and the Spirit doesn't stop there. He pushes us to recover and pursue God's original design again. What God created the world to be like and what he's going to finally make the world when Christ returns again. And so it's just a simple kind of circle that we're working through. And my friend Parker, he used to talk about it like this, is that when we have the message of the gospel, which we do, we think about like life is like an offensive line, okay? And so we just think about it. So if you're a football fan, this will make sense to you. If not, I'm sorry. But there's an offensive line, and we just look for ways that those guys just blow open a hole, and then we run through with the gospel. Like we come in and we start proclaiming here. So we're just taking phrases and things that we learn to give us a better opportunity to be faithful with our words, to open our mouth and be a witness for Christ. And so what we see here is, number one, we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians. We're going to do a study on Sunday night Bible study here. We're doing a series in James. You read James, you sit under the teaching of James, you teach James, and you tell me that it's not a book calling for obedience for the church, okay? That's what this is. There was a reason why we are looking at all this, because that's what we want to do. We want to be people who are doers of God's word. We are his witnesses. We want to lead you as a church to be witnesses of Christ. Secondly, some of you probably wanted me to go here. You probably saw it already. But not only are we his witnesses, but praise the Lord, we have his power. We have his power. Here, there's just several kind of areas of contrast that we need to see. One is this. I want you to think about what being Christ's witness is like in the flesh. You ever been there before, church? You may not know you have. I've been there. Try to do the work of Christ in the flesh. One, it's sin, and one, it doesn't work. Okay, two, it doesn't work. Like, it does not work. You cannot do the calling of God in the flesh and it be fruitful. Well, what do you mean? What I mean is this, is when you just try to robotically do things that Christ has called you to without Christ, it's dry, it doesn't work, it's futile. And you're doing right things. You're doing what he said. But you're not doing it in his power. See, when we serve the Lord, when we do what he's called us to, we're constantly needing to remember what he's called us to and how he called us. He called us in everything that he's ever done with this phrase, I am with you. Don't be afraid, I am with you. I am with you. His presence and his power are necessary for his mission. See, God's called us to be witnesses, but not by ourselves. He says, you are my witnesses, but you have my power. Christ says some words in the book of John that are just chilling to me. John chapter 6, verse 63. He said, only the Spirit gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. Are you dependent upon the Lord? It's a question I have to ask every morning. Am I dependent upon the Lord today? Prayer is a good place to know if you're depending on the Lord. Are you praying? When we pray, it says this, we believe that God's sovereign. That's what we do. And we believe he has the power necessary. Are you praying? We must be a praying people. See, we are his witnesses and we have his power, but we must be dependent upon him. Luke 24:49, Jesus tells the disciples, they're going to have to wait until you're clothed with power from on high. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he talks about that power again, but you will receive power. And then there in chapter 2 of Acts, the day of Pentecost, we see the power fall. We see the Holy Spirit fall. This is the same power. This power is a person, okay? So like it's not like just some abstract power. This is a person. This is God himself empowering his people. This is Jesus talking in John 14 and saying, I'm going somewhere. You can't come, but you're going to do greater things. It's like the song we just sang. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in the city. Greater things are going to happen when I leave. And they're like, how could that be? You know, and he's like, because I'm going to send who? The helper, the Holy Spirit. See, the mission of God is, it is futile outside of the power of God. We need his power. God is the one who does the work. We are his witnesses, and we have his power. Before we leave this subject, I want to give you a quote. This is a guy, Ray Ortland. He's a pastor in Nashville. Ray Ortland said this, and it took me a while, wrestled with it for actually a couple months. Ray Ortland said, I would rather fail in the spirit, and he's talking about success in the eyes of people. I would rather fail in the spirit than to be successful in the flesh. I would rather fail in the spirit than to be successful in the flesh. Now, you never really fail in the spirit. You understand that. But what he's saying is this, is I would rather be obedient to the Lord and dependent on the Lord and have success in the Lord's eyes than to be successful in man's. There's a difference in faithfulness and fruitfulness. Now, biblical faithfulness, when we're lining ourselves up with the Lord, always brings about fruit from the Lord, okay? But it's possible, and this is what I'm saying, to be faithful in the flesh, which will lead to no fruit. But we're called to be faithful in the Spirit, which brings about fruit. You understand? So there's like a simple, like if you're making notes here, I have to simplify everything. So for me, I have like an equation written here on this paper. It just says, our faithfulness plus God's power will equal biblical fruit. It will equal fruitfulness. Church, we must be dependent upon God's power. We must ask Him for His help. We must be a people who look to Him. And we go out in His power. We've got a campus that's just right down the road with thousands and thousands and thousands of students. There's unreached peoples that are on the campus of the University of Alabama. And then we've got a neighborhood right here that God's called us to that is very difficult to minister in. We can't just go out in the flesh and expect God to work. We must go out in the Spirit. God has called us to be His witnesses. And He's called us to do it in His power. The last place I want us to see this morning is this, is that we are His witnesses, we have His power, and we, church body, we are a part of His unstoppable mission. I love the way Acts ends. Hold your place there in chapter 1 and flip over to Acts chapter 28. Here in reminding you of chapter 1, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If you read the book of Acts, you see from chapter 2 to chapter 8, you see them being his witnesses in Jerusalem. And people coming to faith, people believing, thousands upon thousands believing. But starting in chapter 8, we see the people go into Judea and Samaria. Mostly because of persecution, but they go into Judea and Samaria, and they are his witnesses. We see Christ bring people to himself. We see him doing the work he promised he would do. Then we see for the rest of the book there, end of chapter 12, chapter 13 to chapter 28, we see him go all the way to Rome. The book of Acts ends really leading us as a church to pick up here in chapter 28 and start a new chapter. At verse 30, it says, talking about Paul, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness. And I love this phrase. It ends this way, without hindrance. Nothing can hinder the plan and the will of our God. When God calls us to something, God will accomplish what He has called us to do. His plans, He will accomplish. That's why when we open up God's Word, we read Revelation 7, and we see nations upon nations. We see every tribe, tongue, language, people around the throne. We get excited, and we have hope and confidence to go to the ends of the earth.
Because God did what he said he would do. We see it there in Revelation 7. That's why when we read Revelation 21 and we see what Christ is going to do when he returns, when he makes all things new, that's why we take his word and we realize without hindrance, it's not possible for that plan to get stopped. Therefore, my hope is grounded. There's an anchor that I have dropped, okay? I've dropped in. It's the anchor of the gospel, and I know that I can do nothing to thwart that plan. He will do what he said he would do. The question is, will we as this church body at Alberta Baptist Church, will we align ourselves up to him? Will we join him in what he's doing? Will we take part? There's a point in the gospel accounts where Jesus says, he says, look, the rocks would cry out if someone else didn't. I could raise up stones if need be. Like, this isn't about him being needy. This is about him being loving, and this is what he's called us to do. God desires to use us as his primary instruments to reach Alberta City. That's what he's doing. He's raised up the church to reach the world in his power. Let's join him. Let's join him. I can tell you this from a shallow statement. We won't have room in this building. We won't have room in here for one service. I can tell you that much. God is going to use this church because we are going to line ourselves up with his word. Let's be a church right now. Jennifer, you come. When we pray, I mean, when we sing right now, I want you to be in prayer. Let's ask him for power. Let's ask him for his work in our lives. Let's be dependent upon him to do what he's called us to do. Stand with me and let's go to the Lord. Let's respond to his word today. We are his witnesses. We have his power, and we're part of an unstoppable mission. That is the vision of Jesus Christ himself. Father, we love you. We ask that you do a great work here in our midst. Raise up people. Raise up missionaries. Raise up servants. Raise up people. Bring people to yourself and use them, Lord, to reach the city that we live in, and Lord, to go out to all the ends of the world. Give us your heart for people. We need your power. We come to you and we ask for your help. Thank you for being gracious and patient and kind. We love you in the name of Jesus. Amen.